Yes, I think we have finished what I'm going to do on Amud Aleph, and now the Gemara, we actually haven't read the Gemara, have we? Because, no. Okay, so let's read the Gemara. So we are doing Gemara Talmud Bavli, Maseches Ksubos. Yudi, have you read yet? Have I imposed? You read. Who has not read yet? Okay. Shlai, you really haven't read? Okay. Daniel Gutt. Okay. Okay. If you really, really didn't want to read under those circumstances, you don't raise your hand. Okay. But nobody has yet to come and say they're not comfortable reading, so okay. Where is everybody today? I don't know. They'll come straggling in. Go ahead.
So,
honey.
Hold on.
It takes more than 1 second when you're under pressure.
Yeah,
it knows that you're waiting and gets... It makes you wait. Okay.
Okay. Hani Nara Psua. Idlahu Knas Sherislok. So the should I translate or?
You can explain it. The Gemara is commenting.
Okay, so the Gemara is commenting as to whether the Psulot mentioned in the Mishnah, why is it only referring to problematic Nara? And the Gemara is asking for a regular fit Nara, like why does it not talk about it? And
right, or the implication is that these Naras get Knas, but not Kshiras. Apparently, if you have impeccable lineage, you're not entitled to Knas. So that's what the Gemara asked. The answer is?
Kshiras low. So apparently no. That there, it's easy to infer because it says Hafi Kamar Elin Arab Sula Chiyashan Knas Abala Mamzeris Bala Nasina Bala Kukas.
So what is the answer? What's the Gemara's answer to the question? That, and it's a tricky answer anyway, because elunaros, psulos. In other words, there's a word understood in the Mishnah. The following are naros psulos, and the truth is, they're not actually all psulos. In other words, list 2 and list 3 in the Mishnah are psulos. But the first list, you might at best term, even that would be a strong term, to call them pegumos. Right? In other words, they have a chisaron in their yichos. The common denominator of these three is they're all asura lekahuna.
They're not.
We wouldn't call them psulim. They're not psule kahal. They're allowed to marry into the kahal.
No.
The first list. Shvuya for sure. Well, no. That's what I'm saying. They're not psulim. Shvuya p'chusim and gimel shon yachad has no taint whatsoever. Shivcha and a goya can't marry a kohen, even though they were nisgayru and nishtachu p'chusim mashon shon yamechad. Sam, you look puzzled at that. It's a pay, not a base. Okay, and that would be betulot.
Yeah,
anyway, besulos. Okay, so the point is that first list are not actually psulos. They are, and one of them is not psul at all. The shvuya, the giyaris, and the mishacharis have a limitation in terms of marrying the kahuna. So anyway, but the point of the Gemara fundamentally is that these are the outliers who you might have thought were not entitled to kenas. Of course, ksheiros get kenas. Okay, fine. So simple that the Yerushalmi, there's not even a comment that the Yerushalmi has nothing to say about this point. Okay, next.
Nara in kitana lo? So
that's a statement. No, it's not a question. Nara in kitana lo.
Okay, so nara in kitana lo. Mantana. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Meir. He. Titania kitana mi bad yom echad ve'ad shetavi shtei sharot. Yesh lo mecher ve'ein lo knas. U'mishtavi shtei sharot ve'ad sheit kaber yesh lo knas ve'ein lo mecher. Dira Rabbi Meir, Shehaya Rabbi Meir, Omer, Kol Makom Shiyash Mecher, Ein Knas, Ein Knas, Ve Kol Makom Shiyash Knas, Ein Mecher.
Okay, so Rabbi Meir's opinion, this is not the Mishnah, this is the Tosefta that's being quoted, because the Mishnah, you could have quoted the Mishnah at the end of the parak, but the only reason why you don't do that is because the Mishnah doesn't identify the author of that opinion, which happens to be Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah at the end of this parak, like the Mishnah in Chulin, says, Kol Makom Shiyash Mecher, Ein Knas, Kol Makom Shiyash Knas, Ein Mecher. Of course, just by the rules of a syllogism, there are situations in which you have...
What's that word?
A syllogism, you know, the rules of logic. You know, if A always is B and
Socrates,
B is always is C...
If all men die, Socrates will die.
Right. So in those systems of rules, be careful here. You have no situations where you have mecher and knas, but you do have situations in which there's neither mecher nor knas. Okay, so in other words, if you have mecher, you know there's no knas. If you have knas, you know there's no mecher. But just because you have no knas doesn't mean that there is mecher. Adin?
Tosefta
is at the end of the parak, probably. Because that's where the Mishnah is.
Okay.
Yes,
when,
I do.
When they go make a statement like Na'ara in Katanalo, is that open to debate at all, or
the way it's presented here? I mean,
disagree with that. This Mishnah is according to the Tana says.
Yes, they said explicitly Man Tana. The Tosus is bothered by. What would you say? How would you explain it being the Chachamim?
That the same way that the Tosus explains the Chachamim would reference the Mishnah Sanhedrin, that it comes to exclude Bogeret.
Right. So say Elu Naros excludes Bogeret. It doesn't exclude Kitanos. Right, so that would have been Satosis on the bottom of the Amud deals with that issue. As a couple of you pointed out, well, in Seder, I think Ezra, was it you? Is that it's not so the Teret Satosis is not so convincing. Zach,
doesn't it say
Yeah, but the question is, does that to exclude Bogeres, but even include Katana? In other words, a father, for example, when we say Binu Reha Beisaviha, that Kol Shevach and Urim Laav. So that, forgetting about that, might not be the final drasha, but that means what father is zocha and the masay adayim of a nara and of a katana. A father zocha to be makad.
Katana is pashim. Nara is actually like the chiddush by.
Okay, so exactly. So you could say the same thing by onesim fata that katana certainly, but even nara.
Well, the whole thing's a chiddush. The fact that katana, my say that katana makes sense. Katana can't own anything, so pashim goes to the father. But a knas, then the Torah has to. The Torah is Mechadish Knas, so then whatever the Torah says a Knas by, that's what it applies by. Like a Nara.
So again, you know, in many other locations the Torah uses the term Nara, and Katana has the same din. So the assumption is maybe, and this is what the Chachamim assume, that the whole point is the reason why you don't have this din of Knas only apply, and Al Bisvara, by the way, I think you're wrong. Al Bisvara, if the father has the power to be Mechadish his daughter, then you would think that the knas, which seems to be related, kimoar habsulos, the knas should apply both when she's an ara and she's a katana.
But the knas is a chiddush.
Agreed, but clearly it has a function. It has a purpose. Its purpose is kimoar habsulos. Right? It has something to do with marrying off children. And if that's the case, since the father, you know, if the father has the power to marry off when she's a katana, just as he does when she's an ara, then presumably that knas should apply when she's a katana, just as it does when she's an ara.
So, if you were going to dive into an ara in the mission, not going to do the same thing you could possibly say.
Well, Rabbi Meir would. In other words, it's a machlokas hataraim. But just as, if you want to say the way the Chachamim read the pasuk, you could read the Mishnah certainly the very same way. Right? Elu Naros. You should be able to. The question is, why is the Gemara so convinced that has to be read as Nara v'lo Bogeres and v'lo Katana? Why not just say Nara v'lo Bogeres? The Tosos gives an answer, but it's a difficult answer because Tosos assumes that the entire Perek is one, and since the last Mishnah in the Perek, or one of the last Mishnahs on the Perek, is in fact Kol Makom Sheish Mecher in Knas, Kol Makom Sheish Knas in Mecher, like Rabbi Meir Stam, that this Mishnah is also working with the same assumption. But it says who?
Premise, we know that Mishnah is
going to
be. He said even the same Mishnah
can be two different. I know. It's, you could read Tosas, so you can ask the same Kasha. It's not a convincing Tosas. In other words, the Gemara was so mech upon it, but why was the Gemara so mech upon it? If even our Mishnah, you want, in other words, I would argue Adarabba, we say that the second half of the Mishnah certainly is not Rabbi Meir, because it's Bito.
Yeah.
Bito is not Rabbi Meir. So, in other words, So the Gemara clearly is willing to split the two. It's willing to split what is really one Mishnah. This Mishnah and Lamed Vav and Beis are one Mishnah. Elu Sheish, Elu Shein. Certainly the last Mishnah in the Perek, I would have assumed. Yeshua?
The Gilgamesh Shas points to a Tosos and Nida, where Tosos and Nida ends off saying that, which seems to be a Tosos and Shita, that any time that you can try to arrange anything to be according to a mayor, you try to push a Mishnah towards a mayor. Or that it's not Mishnah that you should remember. So any parts, even like sort of acknowledges that even though we've split it, we should try to push as many parts as possible for Rebbe Meir.
Why? Because that Mishnah is right, Rebbe Meir.
Yeah. They also have this part.
So basically, what that's really saying is it's not compelling at all.
They also have this part in there where they say it's love for Rebbe Meir Mamish or something like that.
What's the deeper Maschah there?
It's the bottom one. The last few words. Wait, love Rebbe Meir Mamish?
Yeah. So. Right, so that's basically, yeah, there is nothing, it's just determined by, you know, it's a predetermined agenda that they prefer it to be Rabbi Meir, so if they can read it like Rabbi Meir, they read it like Rabbi Meir.
And there are alternative answers to Tosfos to that, like, I mean, I guess we're not Tosfos yet, or
I wasn't going to do it. Who have you seen? I mean, I read a while ago.
What was the name of the person you're looking at?
Nosei Kein L'Tosfos. What did he say?
He says that it doesn't. It could have said Petula, Elohim HaPetula, but it chooses Naro because it has to teach something.
Okay. I think I like Tosfos' answer better.
You still like Tosfos' answer?
Answer better than that? Yeah, that's such a. Really? Come on. You think that's... I was to shoot you for bringing that into Shir. I mean, no Chas V'Shalom disrespect meant for the Marashah, but do you find that compelling at all?
No, I didn't find it compelling.
Okay, so you're entitled to... What's that? Thanks for throwing him under the bus. That's so nice of you. Okay. I would say the reason why the Mishnah chooses Naros is because that's the language of the Pasuk. And the Chachamim could read the Pasuk Nara in Bogeres Lo, but Ketanus included. So I say the same thing for the Mishnah. Right?
Is there a better answer?
I don't know what the answer is. I don't recall seeing anything that, you know, I read through quickly, you know, the other Rishonim. I don't recall any different answer, anything that struck me as saying this is so convincing. You know, I think there was more. I mean, think more so the other we showed him say like Tosis, if I'm not mistaken. So it's difficult. Yeah, you'd say.
How often does the Gemara, or I guess I don't know, they're showing the Sunni Gemara relate to a series of Mishnayot as one Mishnah?
So again, I think that in when you look throughout Shas, sometimes there's an assumption that certain Masechtos belong to certain Tanoim, like Maseches Midos or Talmud. One of them is Abba Shol. You have and you have rules of Stams, which are not really rules because they're rules until they're not true, and the Gemara knows that. And they'll say Masnisan Delok Rabbi Meir or something like that, or even like somebody else. That's not the only Rabbi Meir. So I think, but the idea, you know, the whole idea even of a Perek, Prakim, it seems, do exist. Prakim exist already in the time of the Amoraim. In other words, when the Mishnah is promulgated, when it's redacted and promulgated, it already has Perek divisions. We can't know. I have two data points at the moment, and I think I've run across them in the past. There's one Gemara in, I think it's in Perek HaMafkid, where the Gemara says, quoting Rabba, what? And it says, Upirkan HaMafkid Hava. Right, which tells you that at least Hamafkid was the beginning of a Perek in Bava Metzia. There's also a Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Yud Dalet Omud Beis, where the Gemara states that the Meseches Avodah Zarah of Avraham Avinu was 400 Prakim, and ours is only 5, and we don't even know what it means. We don't even understand that. Now, our Meseches Avodah does have 5 Prakim. So I think there are probably a couple other places in Shas also where there's an indication at least that they had Prakim divisions that match ours, but again, it's limited. You don't know systematically whether that's true across the board. But that a Perek has to be owned by one Tana, I don't think that is a Mishnah. A Mishnah is usually owned by one Tana, unless you're forced to say Tavra Mishashana Zolo Shana Zo, or you know, Resha Rabbi X and Seifa Rabbi Y, or Rebbe even Asaf Laliba de Tanoi. But the idea that an entire Perek has to belong, that's, I don't think that's usually the case, Yaakov.
The Ron has two answers that he brings, why Nara is to exclude. The first one, and he says,
I have not seen the Ran actually. I didn't pull my Chiddush Ran. Is there a Chiddush Ran exhibit? Or is it on the riff?
It's on the riff.
Okay.
So the first one he says is that it basically seems like he's under the assumption that Nara must be coming to exclude something, and since it can't be coming to exclude Bogeret, because that's Midoraita, because the Pasuk says Nara, and Nara is Mashma, Midoraita Bogeret, then since it's coming to exclude something, it's coming to exclude Tana, which I also I don't know if it's so compelling, but
okay.
But that's just what his assumption seems to be, that it must be coming to exclude something.
Okay, next one.
The next one is the Ramban, which is the same as what it seems.
All right, okay, so it's, the Gemara doesn't accomplish, it doesn't really do much one way or the other. In other words, it doesn't have much of an impact on reading the Mishnah, whether you read it as Nara or Ketana. I don't know what, this has got to be something that's compelling the Gemara to do so, but I'm not sure what that is. Yitzi?
I was just wondering two things. Number one, if maybe the Gemara just had a tradition this way, and they're kind of commenting on it, since it's clear they view an opinion that doesn't belong to Rabbi Meir as an interloper in, you know, this very long Mishnah.
Except for that, again, Bito in the second half of this Mishnah is not Rabbi Meir.
But if you view that as like an interruption. I'm saying that doesn't justify why. I'm just saying maybe like.
I would have faster said. If you asked me, I would have said it's Rebbe Hivanasav La Liba de Tanoi. And I would say Ad Rabba. In other words, the last mission of the Perek's Rabbi Meir, but based upon the fact that Bito's not Rabbi Meir, it would have been smarter to read this mission as also not Rabbi Meir.
So, but I'm saying if there's no internal textual reason why we should assume that, then like.
But there is one to not read this like Rabbi Meir.
Right, yeah,
and yet the Gemara insists on taking the first half and making it Rabbi Meir.
Yeah.
It's not compelling, the Naros reading.
Yeah.
All right, I don't want to beat a dead horse. But
would there have been a way to phrase the Mishnah? Could it have just been English?
You could have said that, but again, I would argue that you say, again, it's more natural to say, I mean, we call it Perek Elu Naros, but who knows? We'd call it Perek Elu, I don't know what we would have called it, Elu Sheish, Perek Elu Sheish, but I'll still say the same thing. It's Lamaidus Abogaris. Okay. Is this worth... Are you kicking a dead horse if it's dead?
I might be. I don't know. I just want to know...
The dead horse is a huge hole in the car, though.
Yeah.
I don't like this horse being dead.
No? So you haven't performed Pius Amesim for me yet.
I don't know if that was... Yeah.
Okay.
What's
that?
Is that a shared responsibility?
I'm just really puzzled by it. Again, it's not something I lose sleep over because the Gemara doesn't take this anywhere. In other words, what difference does it make? We don't pass like Rabbi Meir anyway. Right? We pass like the Chachamim. So what is gained by, you know, the Gemara, you know, what is gained by Rav identifying the mission as Rabbi Meir? In other words, you know, Lule de Mistapina, and I'm not going to say this because I don't think it's really plausible. I would have said this Gemara is in the wrong place. It's on the last Mishnah. Right, that would have been a nice solution. So Rav is coming to point out that, by the way, this Mishnah is Rabbi Meir's opinion, but the Chachamim disagree. But here, what's the point in putting, especially, again, I don't know what Rav was thinking, whether Rav thought we paskin like Rabbi Meir because it's a Stam Mishnah or not, but what would the point of Rav saying that here?
That's almost what Tosfos is doing.
But it's not. But you're right.
Writing this Gemara, and when we're at this Mishnah, we don't want you to read this Mishnah wrong already. We don't want to wait.
Right, but who says that this Mishnah should be read in light of the other Mishnah? This Mishnah, at the very least, should be read neutrally. The Mishnah here, that Mishnah is dealing with the question of Nara Katana Bogaris. This Mishnah is dealing with the yichus of the individual, regardless of whether she's a Nara or a Katana, if you include that. Right, so I agree. In other words, what I'm doing is trying to have Tosfos, you know, in a way that doesn't continue the questions. Like, who says that these two parts are the same? So if you say that this is really a comment about that, so then it's not a question because that Mishnah really is Rabbi Meir. And hence the Tosefta elaborates on the Mishnah to point out that it's Machlokes or Meir
Chacham.
No,
you did that. You beat me
to that. Okay, fine. So we get to go on now. Yes. No, we don't. Ezra Shema.
Why doesn't you want to say Naros Ian that Bulgaris, though?
Well, because Bulgaris, we know, is a Davar Pashut.
How?
Because nobody says that a Bulgaris. When the Torah says Nara, it has to exclude something, and everybody agrees it excludes Bulgaris. Otherwise, the Torah would have said Isha.
That's basically the Ron's answer.
Yeah.
It's basically Yaakov's. That's the reason that Ron says to make the Gemara makes this video, because Minas Torah is Pashut.
I know, but the Mishnah does water. I mean, again, that's a yes, but the Mishnah was going to be formulated and referencing the Torah, so that's in itself is, you know, that the Mishnah should have to be somehow, the Mishnah should be working with the assumption of the Pasuk that you know the Pasuk and the Nara excludes Bulgaria, so it's going to be Nara. I mean, it's almost, I'm going to say it's blasphemous, sort of like, yeah, we have two texts here, because it says Nara twice, once Lamait Bulgaris, that's the one in the Torah, and once Lamait Katana, that's the one in the Mishnah. Right? They're not on par. Okay. Ezra?
Tosfos' question. What Tosfos, I think, should be asking in light of the Ron is that this just shouldn't be in the Mishnah, in the Gemara at all. But once you say that there is something to Darshan, the right drusha is Nara.
Agreed. I agree. My question is, who says that it's extraneous in the first place?
Right, but like, if you can accept that, if you say now, if that the, like the Torah, we have established that some things are extraneous and that this is one of those things, then you have to say Nari and Katana Lo.
No, the whole point is Tosis is starting at the assumption is, why don't you read this Nara just like the Nara in the Torah, which excludes Bogeris. In other words, Rami Meir says the Nara in the Torah excludes Bogeris and Katana. The Chachamim say the Nara in the Torah excludes Bogeris, but not Katana. So Tosis is saying, what in this Mishnah compels you to treat any differently than the Pasuk in the Torah?
And the answer is that it's Pasuk that the Bogeris is excluded.
I know, but again, you have to speak the language. In other words, Elu Naris, we're telling you what we're talking about. Firstly, I'd go a step further. Why I think the Ron's answer doesn't resonate, which is that if I said Elu Sheish Lahim Knas, what are we talking about? People who steal, and we're talking about Kefon Dalvehei, people whose oxen kill someone's Eved, so the Chayav and the Shloshim Shel Eved. You know, people go through your whole list. I don't know how many other Knasas there are.
By the ultimately fifth word commission.
What's that?
You think that would be clarified by the?
Okay, I agree, but the point is that you're starting Elu Naros. You want to know what we're talking about? We're talking about Naros who have a Knas. You know Naros, Knas means Onei Simifata.
Why can't the Mishnah copy the Torah in language and form? Meaning, it copies the language Elu Naros to reference you back to that, and also it's copying the fact that it's going to be Mimai or something.
Agreed, and Mimai Bogeris.
No, but why? But I'm saying it's seeing it a step farther.
Once you take the formulation, because you're mimicking the Torah, so then you can't ask me, it's also to be mimayit something. To borrow the Gemara's language, chad legufa. Okay? And this is the chad legufa. If you told me, right, if you wanted to tell me, zehanara, but it could have said zehan, if it could have said zehanara, and it said elu naros, so now we could darshan, mimayit. But it's not. Okay. The problem is the Gemara. I can't blame Tosos.
What's the motivation for the Gemara reading it this way? I mean,
again, if it were on the other, I don't know. That's why it's backwards. Because on the later Mishnah, Rav could be coming to say one of two things. He could either be coming to say, we paskin this way because it's a Stam Mishnah like Ramir, or he could be coming to tell you that the Mishnah is a Das Yachid and we don't paskin that way. But in our Mishnah, just keep quiet. And who's going to necessarily assume one over the other? Okay.
Is it possible that Gemara could have moved? I'm saying, like you suggested, that this should be on a different
mission. I said, Lulu de Mistapina, I would want to say that, but I don't have any evidence for saying that. Okay. And you show me, again, I can't bring Rias from silence, are generally weak Rias, except for rare circumstances. You show me doesn't say anything, you know.
Put it up later.
Now,
well, this certainly is. Well, actually, no, because it's not, because it's Rav. It's Rav speaking. Again, if you say the Yerushalmi had it on the later Mishnah, that would make sense. I didn't look at the Yerushalmi later Mishnah to see if the Yerushalmi later Mishnah just, which it wouldn't surprise me if it just quotes the Tosefta and comments that this is a Machlokas. That's what I would expect. Mm-hmm. Nobody has the Yerushalmi with them, do they? Take a look and just see, quickly, you go, well, we're going to go on, but take a look and see if they quote Rav there. That would be the interesting part. If the Yerushalmi... near the end, I don't remember. It should be one last second last. Let me just, I didn't look. I wasn't planning on dwelling on this. I was just going to move on. You guys are giving me a hard time. So the place I want to look, so introduce you, is
it says Rabbi Tzvi Shem Yochanan der Meir. Yeah, Rabbi Tzvi Shem Yochanan der Meir he Ram Karavinan Yesh Mecher.
Karabana, right, Yesh Mecher, okay. Does he quote the Tosefta or no? So that's where it belongs. Right? And who is it? It's Rav's uncle who's quoting it there. Okay. You know, so then we could go a step further and blame the editors of the Bavli. You know, so again, why they chose... Yeah, unless it's really a manuscript error, which I find it hard to believe. I didn't go checking, but I think it's highly unlikely you're going to find this. So,
has it happened? Do you have things sort of like
to move from 10 blot later? It's not likely. I mean,
I have certain things bisected like this in Gemara. I have heard similar ideas, meaning that since its placement makes sense here.
Oh, I take it back. You know what? I didn't bother to look. It is later in there in the Bavli also. But that doesn't. So that just, you know, further. One of these two had to have been the Right there, it's not even introduced with the Man Tana. So now you're going to ask the following question. I have little doubt now. Okay, now I'll say it. Now you get elected Talmud. That's where Rob made the statement. So now the kasha is on the stomach of the Gemara. Why did the Masader of the Perek or the Masechta was responsible? Why did he choose to put it here? It sort of further exacerbates the question. Right, Rav's statement is in both places. Rav could have said it in both, but it seems to me, what's that?
Actually, I'm okay with that.
So no, but you're left with asking the question, what were the Masader thinking?
I can actually show you, I've heard this recently in another place in Ksuvus, under the first Mishnah, by Rav and Shmuel. It's interesting, there's a few words that are, when they explain, Rava and Rava, there's a few words that are in Rava's explanation that really only belong in Rava's explanation. And they say that it's like
first Mishnah Ksuvus or Gittin?
That is Gittin. Yeah, first Mishnah Ksuvus.
And the Gimel and Aleph, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. And they say the same,
I have
a similar idea.
Okay, they're close enough that someone accidentally could have copied in. A copyist who was a half lamdan, not a full lamdan, copied it. Here, somebody must have taken and decided to put it at the beginning of the parent. So you're right, so now I could...
That's only if you have the idea of mistakes. I wasn't saying that based on a mistake idea. I think that was like almost like a cheat idea, just repeating for purpose of...
So you know, with the Yushalmi very often, when you have a sugya that contrasts two Mishnayos in different places, you find the sugya in both places. And sometimes it was copied from one to the other, you can tell, because he forgot to change with a reference to Hacha and Hasa. You know, Taman and Hacha. Right? So you can tell how it was copied. He didn't bother to sort of flip that. But fundamentally, the comment belonged in both places. Right? Because it's Mishnah A and one Masech and Mishnah B. Right, it doesn't belong here in Bichlal. It's a Tosus and the other Rishonim and the Marshal are being forced into a corner to try to explain something, but which you're the kasha on the Masad, they're not on Rav. Okay, fine. All right. So that's, by the way, I didn't plan on dealing with this, but now you got a very good lesson about composition of sugyas and approach. This is sometimes, by the way, a very useful. So let me make the following statement, and I'm guilty here, even though I learned the latter part of the parak. This is not usually the kind of piece that I focus on. Whenever you learn a Gemara, look up all the parallels. So 90% of the time, 95% of the time, it's not going to tell you anything. It's a pedestrian. But there are occasions where the placement of the sugya, the arrangement of the sugya, often tells you a lot. I'll take the liberty of giving you an example, a really useful example from the perspective of conceptual history of development of concepts. There is some of you have heard of the term Hafkas Kiddushin. In our Masechta, you have it on Daf Beis going out to Gimel Amad Aleph, I believe. No, it's on Gimel Amad Aleph, excuse me. It's on Gimel Amad Aleph. And the Gemara there says that to explain a particular din in a Braisa, in that case, so the one of the Amoraim suggests or the Gemara suggests, "Va'afkiinu rabbanan lekiddushim minei." Ravina then replies to Rav Ashi and says, "But that idea of hafkas kiddushin, of dissolving the kiddushin, only makes sense if you're talking about kiddushay kesef. But how can you be mafkia kiddushay bia?" And he responds, "I say yes, you can. Shavu rabbanan lebilaso bilasnos. I don't care what that means right now, but what the Gemara there is talking about, that's the dialogue that takes place now." This dialogue is found in five different places in Shas. So I always say to my students, tell me something. Was Ravina a smart fellow or a bit on the slow side? So the only correct answer to that question is? He was a smart guy. How many times did he have to ask Rav Ashi the question and get the same answer? Like after he asked him the first time, Tenech b'kaddish b'kaspa, kaddish b'bmi, and he got the answer that he got, how many times? Obviously that conversation only took place once. And the Gemara has chosen, and I'll go a step further, Rav Ashi probably only invoked Hafkas Kiddushin in one particular context. Not to say he might or might not agree with the other context. Ravina challenged him on the concept. Rav Ashi gave the response that he gave, and now the Misadre HaShas have taken that dialogue, that explanation, and been mavir to four other sugyos. Why is it important? It's important, firstly, you can identify. I think it's clear which sugya it is. Somebody wrote an article suggesting a different sugya of the five, but both of them actually are common conceptually. There are two kinds of hafkas kiddushin in halacha. One is when the kiddushin is done improperly at the start, even though it's chal technically. It's technically chal, Have you heard me talk on this topic? You seem to.
No, I've talked about it.
Ah, okay. So the Avkos Kedushin is Chal. The Kedushin is done improperly at the outset, and when we say Afkina Rabban LeKedushimine, it's an immediate dissolution of the Kedushin. That would have been good Minat Torah for whatever reason, but because he behaved improperly, Hu Asa Shalo Kahogen, Lefikach Asu Lo Shalo Kahogen, Vafkina Rabban LeKedushimine. That is one kind of Afkos Kedushin. An example from the Gemara Baba Basra is where you force a woman to accept Kedushin. You put a gun to her and say, marry me or I'm going to kill you, and she says yes. Now, the reason why it's binding is because if I put a gun to your head and tell you, sell me your field for its full value, I'll pay you, and you agree, even with a gun to your head, the Gemara says that the mechar is chal. Why? That's the din of Tayu v'Zabim, because agav zuzei ve'onsei gamar makne. If I put a gun to your head and say, give me your field, and just give it to me, so then, even though you say yes, it's not binding. But if I pay you full value, then we assume that you have gemiras das. So the same thing would have been true by an isha who receives all the financial benefits of marriage, but the rabbanon will mafkia the kiddushin. That's one kind of afkas kiddushin. The other kind of afkas kiddushin, there are three different cases in the Gemara, where a couple was married happily ever after, almost, until the husband, for a good reason or a bad reason, decided to write her a get. In one case, he's dying and he doesn't want to be subject to Yuma Chalitza, so he gives her a get. The implicit assumption is that that only if he dies, the get will be now. And a couple of others. The one is the beginning of Mar Masechta, about Yesh Onus Begitin. In all those cases, when we employ Afkas Kedushin, it's always done when there's a get at the end, but there's something that Midoraisa, it seems, is invalid about the get. But the Rabbanon are somehow machshir the get through Afkas Kedushin, which might be that not that they're machshir the get, it's just that they say you don't really need a get because the Kedushin will never Kedushin. But that is a much more radical form of Hafkas Kedushin. Now, both exist in the Gemara. Now, I would argue the Ravashi statement originally and Ravina's response was really by one of the other two cases, by the cases where it's an immediate Hafkas Kedushin, but the Misadre Hashas have now taken that concept and they've extended it further. It's not a question of right or wrong, but you can trace what I'll call intellectual development or, you know, historical development of a certain idea. So that's why it's important to realize, that's one example. It's not the only kind where it's important to look up parallels, because in that case, when you look up the parallels, all of a sudden you say, one second, Ravina wasn't that dumb. Why does he keep asking the same question over and over? And you realize he's not asking the same question over and over. The Gemara is being mavir, the question and the answer, from an original sugya to other places. And once you say that, now you have to ask, are they identical or maybe they're not identical? Maybe there is a development and a change or a further development of the concept. Shlayan.
So without getting too bogged down in the sugya of Afkas Kedushin, wouldn't it make more sense to say that Ravashi said it at least twice, one in Isha?
It is possible, except for by the three cases of the sugya, the three sugyas where there's a get involved, Ravashi is not involved in those sugyas at all. I think that the name is not there at all. It's Amal-Osan Amal-Rinu Ravashi.
Is it even that generation, or...?
No, it's probably the stomach of the Gemara even. You have to look and see, but on the one on Daf Gimel...
I wasn't paying attention to this.
It's the Gemara talking. It was Tula Shonas and Rava, and then the Gemara has a whole elaborate sugya, totally anonymous, and then finally the Gemara resorts to saying, now called the Bakadesh, and because of this reason, Mishum Tzunus, Mishum Prutza, Sharina, Ishas, right. Alma, and the Gemara says, in, because called the Makadesh, that the Raman Makadesh. But if you look in Bava Basra, I believe it's one of them, actually, it's Ravashi. Maybe I thought the one in Yavamos is the Uvda Denarish. On Kufyud Beis and Yavamos. One of them, it's Ravashi speaking. And so that, to me, is most mistaber. That's where Ravashi said this, and then Amar Le Ravina Ravashi, and then Ravashi responded with the answer. Now, the Gemara has taken that discussion and applied it in four other cases where the Gemara thinks the operative principle that's going on in the earlier sources happens to be Hafkas Kedushin.
In that case, wouldn't it be how could the Misadrin...
Because the Misadrin were Amorim. They were entitled to interpret and to decide and so on and so forth. They weren't simply. They weren't, copy editors.
They used like pseudepigraphic techniques to.
They just didn't. Their names are not there. I don't know if it's pseudepigraphic. So in other words, that's just.
It's not really Ravashi's position in the pudding.
But yes, except for it is. In other words, it is if you assume they're one and the same. That's not. I wouldn't call that pseudepigraphic. That's simply just. On some level, you're giving credit, right? Even though they didn't say it there, they would say it there. That's not quite pseudepigraphic. That's the same thing when. Remember that the Gemara is willing to. A larger point, the Gemara is willing to quote Amoraim and things that they didn't actually say. When the Gemara says, Had the Rav Ploni, Laf Beferish Itamar, Elamechlala Itamar, about 20 places in Shas, that the statement of so-and-so, he actually never said it, but it was inferred that he held that way based on something that happened and that he did. And in some of those places, the Gemara says Velohi, and it's wrong. It's an incorrect inference. Or when the Gemara says, to give you an example, near the end of the fourth parak of Megillah, like the Chavtes or Chesamid Beis, where the Gemara says that they quote, I forget which Amora who said that Shabbos Hanukkah, which is Rosh Chodesh, you take out three Sifrei Torah. And the other time we take out three Sifrei Torah is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, is a Shkalim or HaChodesh when it comes out on Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara has two statements there, and the Gemara says, why do you do both? And the Gemara says, Chada Michlal Chaverta Itmar. He didn't say both. He said one, and somebody took that and said, and in his name said that on such a case, you take out three Sifrei Torah. Right, it's a logical extrapolation from one, and it's quoted as an amira, even though he never actually said it. So they weren't. I don't think that they saw that as pseudepigrapha. They just said sometimes amar means savar.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying this in these two cases, you can't actually. I mean,
you could say they assume that the stam of the Gemara in the case of Hakas Kiddushin is assuming they're one and the same. It's not a crazy extension. As if your principle is that the Kiddushin is, if it's a Kiddushin al Tanai, if that's what Afkas Kiddushin is based upon, Kiddas Moshe of Yisrael, Adaita the Rabbanon, then you could understand why it should apply by both. It's not a crazy extension, but it is different. What's that?
It's not clear.
I agree it's not clear how it works. I agree. Okay. So anyway, so that's why it's important to look at parallels. Systematically. I don't always do it as systematically as I should. Usually I do, but not always. Okay. Fine. So now, okay, we agreed the horse is dead, or maybe resuscitated. It's limping along at least on three legs, if not four. So now we can go on to the Gemara asks Akasha just on the Chachamim's formulation. And the Gemara, the Bryce had said, "Mashalosh biyomecha ad shetibaga yesh laknas." The Gemara wondered about that. Daniel, finish this part. Knas. Bottom line.
Knas. I just went to the point.
Knas in mecher low. What the Chachamim say that a katana from the age of 3 years in a day until shetibaga she has knas. Now, obviously, they're really responding to Rabbi Meir, but the way the Gemara formulates is, Ema, what did he really mean? What did they really mean?
Ema, Af Knas
Mamako Mecher. In other words, when the Chachamim said that, Rameir said that from 3 years and a day till she becomes a Nara, she has Mecher, but no Knas, and from when she's a Nara, she has Knas and no Mecher. The Chachamim say, from the age of 3 years and a day until she becomes a Bogeres, she has Knas. They didn't mean to say not Mecher. They were just, as opposed to you, Rabbi Meir, who are saying that there's no kanas when she's a ketana, we're saying that there is kanas when she's a ketana. In other words, af kanas b'mako mecher. Even when there is mecher, there still is kanas. Obviously, there's a case where there's no mecher, there still is kanas, namely nara. There's a case where there's no mecher, but there's still is kanas, which is nara. Yudi, you had a question?
Yeah, where is Rabbi Meir's logic for having one but not the other? Like, why can't it be both?
Because the Torah says, v'chiyim kor ishes bitola amah. And as the machlokas is really about the word nara. What does it mean in the context of the parashim Ones and Mefata? Because even the Chachamim agree, that there's no mechar for ketana. The reason why there's no mechar for ketana, there's no mechar for nara. Firstly, it's v'chiyim kor ishes bito lama, and Chazal understand, it's not explicit in the psukim, that when a girl brings simanim, if she was sold as namavriya, she goes free. V'yotzachina mein kasef. Is that what they base it upon? Yeshitzia Acheres or something like that. And therefore, if she goes free when she becomes a Nara, it's a Kavachomer, you can't sell her when she's a Nara. Yeah, no, so that but everybody agrees by Mecher that the father only has the right to be Mocher her when she is a Katana. But there.
Why can't she get a Knas when she's a Katana?
Rav Meir would say it's Exeris HaKosef. He might say it's because, you know, if you want to give a quasi-balabatish teretz, which I don't find to be that compelling, is that typically, it's hard to know, but one assumes that the age they were typically marrying them off would have been Narus. Rav certainly says, again, it's hard to know whether this reflects Minhag or Takana. Rav says that Asa la'adam shi'akadish is bito achetagdil v'tomar b'ploni anirotza. It's a Gemara, I think, at the beginning of the second or third parak of Kiddushin. So if that's the case, Again, I don't know if that was true in the biblical period, but if you assume that you're not Noli Marif till she's a Nara, so it goes like this. It's true she won't be a Basula, but when she is raped or seduced, when she's a Nara, it's like she's now in the parasha of Shiduchim and everybody knows and everybody remembers. If it happened when she was seven, you know, a few years had passed, then, you know, time heals many wounds and so on and so forth. I'm not convinced that that's such a good Svara, but if you want to look for a grasp of something, maybe you would say that. I would say for Rabbi Meir, it's Xeris HaKosov. It's a question of how do you read Nara? Ezra, and then Daniel.
Going back to our discussion from before, you say it's a question, but the Tos was just completely circular logic. If you're saying that the only reason he says Makoshe Shigesh Mecher and Knas versa, then Tos will bring the Mishnah from over there. If the only reason Rabbi Meir says that is because of Nara, then you're just literally going back on yourself.
You're losing me. You're thinking something, but I'm not connecting to it.
Okay, so Tosfot says that the reason we know that this is Elu Nara is Rabbi Meir,
yes,
is because there's a later Mishnah that says Makom Sheish Mecher and Knas.
And that's, and we know that's Rabbi Meir. It's explicitly Rabbi Meir Shita, not in the Mishnah, but the Brice identifies that as Rabbi Meir Shita.
That one there,
right?
Right, but that's just the exact same opinion as this, though. There's literally no difference if you're going to say that.
Yes, yes, that's the whole point. The Gemish, the Rav is quoted here on Chav Tesan Alpha saying, "Money must nisan." Rabbi Meir. But the question is, and why? Nara in Ketana lo. So Tosa is saying, but that's not a good diuk. So Tosa says, no, it's not really based upon the diuk. It's based upon the fact that the Mishnah later is clearly Rabbi Meir. You don't have to make a diuk. The Mishnah later says that Komakom Sheyesh Mecher in Knas, which means that Ketana has no Knas. And since that's Rabbi Meir, we want this to be Rabbi Meir too. My kasha and Tosis was, who says the entire parak has to be the same Tana?
Now I'm going to change sides, and I'm going to say that if you say that that's Rabbi Meir, and this is basically the exact same opinion, then it happens.
No, it's not. This Mishnah, the Mishnah just says Elu Nara Sheish Lan Knas. Period.
Right.
It could be Nara certainly excludes Bogaris. The question is, does it mean this meant to exclude Ketanos also or not? And there's nothing compelling. My point is that the Chachamim can read Nara in the Torah as Nara Velo Bogaris, but not Nara Velo Ketana. So the same thing in the Mishnah. The later Mishnah, I understand, is explicitly what turns out to be Rabbi Meir's opinion, even though it's not identified in the Mishnah itself. Daniel?
This is more like Tanakh question, but very relevant. What is, what do some of the Mepharshim say on, the svar behind why it's a Nahara and not an Isha or not a Ketana? Why does it use Nahara?
I don't remember. If you're asking a pshat question, first I don't know if the Mefarshim will talk about why not a Ketana, but my guess would be is that a lot of the Nara cases, firstly, seventh by Pitui, it's hard to be Mefata a 7-year-old. 7-year-olds are not interested. Okay? As we have an expression, Yodas Tam Bia Ve'inamo Seres Atzman Labia. In other words, one of the ways of avoiding Yichud is if you have a child in the room who's old enough to understand what's going on, but in other words, we assume a man may not have yichud with two women because they'll trade their silence for trade favors. But if one of them is of an age where they're aware of what's going on but are not interested in bia, yodas tam bia v'einam oseres atzman l'bia, then there's no iser of yichud with these two people. Now, if you're a regular woman, who is this yichud? With this ketana, right? So so I assume that the reason why the pshuta shemikra is not a ketana, because it's not, I mean, ones could be a ketana, but even I would say ones, it's hard to know what ancient practice was. Here's sort of a contemporary issue. There's a difference in law. People often abuse the terminology. Forgive me for the use of that verb. I didn't choose it consciously. People will talk about, you know, someone having a relationship with a 13-year-old girl as pedophilia sometimes in hysterical moods. A relationship with a 13-year-old girl is not pedophilia. It's statutory rape. It may be wrong, it may be immoral, but it's not pedophilia. Pedophilia is probably an orientation. There's more and more evidence to this, because, and the reason why pedophilia, it's an abnormal orientation, because normally, people with a normal sexual identity are not interested in having intercourse with a child, because the child doesn't have the sexual characteristics, you know, that normally would attract a typical person. Whereas a 13-year-old girl already has the simon, in most cases, of a female, may not be fully grown, so that's not actually pedophilia, that's statutory rape. I don't know how much of that orientation piece is sociologically driven. I get the sense from the little I've read, not reading the literature, but reading about the literature, is that there's very much a biological element to it. In which case, I do wonder, and I don't know the answer to this question, how common was it for girls to be married much before the age of Nowruz? I don't know, that's an important question to answer, because if the science would suggest that it wasn't the case, and I don't know if that's true or not, but if in fact it was really uncommon much before the age of Simonim, if you call it that, so then we understand why the Torah would only use the term Nara in all of these cases. That's number one. And in the case of Motzi Shema, for example, we talk about Nara, it's because if you assume that people typically didn't marry their children when the Ketanos, only when they were Naros, so that's why Motzi Shema is only coming up in a situation, Motzi Shema and Mefata are only going to come up in a situation typically where the girl was of an age where it would be normal. Ones, you don't know.
Flip it and just say, okay, so what if she's 13?
No, so the other part, so the reason why the Torah, so you want to argue, if you want to talk about Pshuta Shemekra, by the way, the reason why the Torah specifies Nara is because all of these cases involve the father. Once she's not a Nara anymore, the father has no involvement. So now, this means the Torah simply doesn't address the case, let's say, of Ones by a Bogeris. Right now, so if I take Motzi Shemra as an example, Motzi Shemra, there would be, basically Motzi Shemra in the absence of the father is just a fight between husband and wife, and basically can adjudicate whether this, whether Edom or not. Right? Mefata, when the father's not involved, is a question of the girl's choice. She made a choice. She was Mochelas on what she's entitled to because she chose to sleep with him. That's fine too if she's a Bulgaris. Only Ones is the gap. Right? So Chazal's understanding is that there, of course, the dinim apply except for the kanas. The kanas is a function of the father. And
is it a sexist thing that the Torah is only trying to protect the rights and the legal property of the father, and then once the girl turns 13, then she doesn't have that monetary right?
So I don't actually know. Assuming that in practice the father didn't marry off the daughter, because you know might have married off the daughter even after she was 12. Even if technically speaking you require her full consent, then it's really her kiddushin. So it is possible that when girls got married at a certain age, there wasn't mohar involved in the same way. In other words, it might, you know, again, I don't know how things worked in that society, but basically the two want to get married, that's great. When she's still in our father's rishus, he's got to appease the father, that's why you have a mohar. Afterwards, there's no mohar anymore. So Chazal understand, the Torah doesn't address it one way or the other, that if you own if ma'anes, a bogeris, you pay boshes, and you pay pagam, and you pay tzar, but you don't pay knas because knas is gzeres hakasu, because that's the father's, you know, that was just the reflection of the fact that when the girl got married at an age where the father was involved, the father received a dowry, you know, received a payment of some kind.
She doesn't receive the dowry?
When she gets married on her own, perhaps not. Perhaps that just wasn't what happened. So therefore, there's no need to reimburse her knas.
Shouldn't you ask a question on that and say, well, if she doesn't want to get, if he doesn't want to marry her, then he has to pay her the what is it called, dowry?
Dowry.
Yeah,
well,
the dowry, but then if he does marry her, then he doesn't pay the dowry?
No, with the father or not?
Meaning if the man marries the, in the case of Ones, Nara,
right,
then he doesn't have to pay her the knas.
That's true, but he probably is going to deliver a dowry to her father anyway, because that's what you do when you get married. I mean, there are two kinds of dowries. The dowry, the way it's usually today, is the girl's family, you know, is paying the husband. But in other words, there is a mohar habesulos, and that was some type, that mohar, you know what, and you see that also by Shechem, Rabu Alai Ma'od Mo'ar Matan, and that probably what happened was if he didn't pay the knas, because he marries Mary, he probably delivers something to Mo'ar. Okay, all right, fine. So now the Gemara finally gets to the issue that Yushalmi deals with as well. So now, thank you very much. And Yaakov, you haven't read yet, so you would be, if you would be so kind as to read the Yushalmi for us. Ksiv on the sheet. Just now, I should have said this before we did the Yerushalmi. Just a word about the Yerushalmi. Now the Bar Ilan has two editions. The Yerushalmi was very poorly preserved. It was very poorly preserved because not so many people studied Yerushalmi. The Rishonim do quote Yerushalmi. Most seem to be aware of it. The Rashi does it very infrequently. Tosis does it a little more frequently. Hasidei Ashkenaz in particular seem to have a particular interest in Yerushalmi, like the Ravya and the Ravon and the Orza Rua. But it does not receive the same kind of attention, certainly in later Ashkenaz. I don't know about Sfarad as much. So the Yerushalmi was very poorly preserved. We have basically one manuscript for the Yushalmi plus one partial manuscript. And that means that whatever that manuscript of the Yushalmi, that entire manuscript of the Yushalmi that we have, Ksav Yad Leiden, whenever that doesn't have something, we don't have it. There are some Gediza materials, but basically, by way of example, we have the Yushalmi is missing on the last three Prakim of Shabbos. It's missing on the missing on the last seven Prakim of Nida. It's missing in a lot of parts, and there's no way... You can assume if there's Yushalmi on the first three Prakim of Nida, there's Yushalmi on all ten Prakim of Nida. We just don't have it. You know, there probably never was a Yushalmi in Kachem, although someone produced a very nice forgery in the 19th century. That's the godless of these people. In other words, you have someone who could actually forge. What would he do? He'd forge Yushalmi. He wasn't forging money. He wanted to create more Torah. That's godless. But there never was, as far as you know, Yushalmi and Kachim. So the Yushalmi is very, very fragmentary. There are theoretically three texts you can get of the Yushalmi. Now, two of them are available easily on the Bar Ilan. The newest Bar Ilan has both. The first printing of the Yushalmi, and I'm mentioning this to you just because you recognize the nomenclature, was printed in Venice, probably in the early 16th century. I don't remember the date for sure. And it was printed in four columns. It was printed in four columns. So this, you have Daf X, and there's Amud Aleph, Amud Beis, Amud Gimel, Amud Dalet. It starts with Daf Aleph, unlike the Bavli, which starts like Daf Beis, more like the Rif, which starts with Daf Aleph. And the way the numbering works is that it starts at the beginning of a Seder, and it goes throughout the entire Seder. It doesn't restart. So Maseches Megillah Yushalmi might start in the Venice edition on Daf Samach Zayin, you know, Amud Gimel, for all I know. I mean, it starts at some crazily high number, because it's one continuous counting through a Seder. Later editions of the Yushalmi are broken down by Perek and Halacha and have commentaries printed on the side, and there is no standard. There have been a number of different printers of the Yushalmis with various commentators, and they don't always follow the same Daf and Amud, and sometimes the Halacha, the Mishnah, is placed in different places, so you have to be careful about that. Most of the commentaries on the Yushalmi are fairly late. The main commentaries we have on the Yushalmi, the Pnei Moshe and the Karban Ha'edah, are Rabbeim, or contemporaries of Rabbeim of the Gra. That really marks the period. The 18th century is when the revival and the interest of other rabbinic texts starts to really take off. The Yushalmi, Midrashei Halacha. Until then, basically the curriculum, you know, in the European, whatever they were, they weren't yeshivot yet in the formal sense. I mean, they were yeshivot, but not in the Velazhin sense. The curriculum of those yeshivas was basically Bavli. Yeah. What's that? I'm sorry? Yes, it was Bavli, yes, and it was Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos are basically what they did. And only later does this broadening of interest to other rabbinic texts come into being. I'm only aware of one commentary, I'm sure there are others, one, at least, commentary written on the Yushalmi by a Rishon, and if he even is a Rishon, but it's fairly early, is the Baal Sefer Charedim, Rabbi Lazar Azakri, I think. I don't know how much we have it on, I think, Beitza, and a couple of other Masechtas. It was put out by Yitzchak Frankis from the seminary. But basically, the major patron we have are late. Okay. Anyway, so there's a third edition to the Yushalmi, which is in print, although it's probably not cheap and it's heavy to carry around.
It's also online.
Is the transcription or the manuscript?
The transcription.
Oh, they did put it on. Where is it?
Tanya Academic College.
Okay, so under the auspices of Professor Yaakov Zussman, they put out an edition of Ksav Yad Leiden, a transcription of the manuscript. So it's printed. It's not pictures, but it's an actual transcript of the Ksav Yad. They had some funny shittos that they, in terms of what they did, they didn't put the Mishnah in there. Meir Lichtenstein, I won't tell you why, but once explained to me the Mishigas behind that, why they didn't put the text of the Mishnah. The text of the Mishnah, by the way, in the Yushalmi Ksav Yad Leiden, for those of you who know anything about Mishnah manuscripts, is the Parma 138 manuscript. It's the probably second most important Mishnah manuscript that we have, but it's been demonstrated that it's actually Hainuach, that the author Ksav Yad Leiden took it from Parma 138 or something that was identical to Parma 138. So anyway, it's a very good Mishnah text in Ksav Yad Leiden, but they didn't print it there.
Because they don't.
Anyway, so So Sam tells me that edition is now online. Is the manuscript actually online at the Hebrew Talmud? The Hebrew U has, it's called the Otsar Kisveyad Talmudiyim. It has a sort of a Talmudic manuscript treasury where you can see a lot of the Kisveyad. The Bavli, you have both the two most important Kisveyad, the Ksav Yad Kaufman and Parma 138, and then you have a bunch of Bavli manuscripts, a lot of the Vatican manuscripts. There's a link to the Munich manuscript, but that's actually at the library in Germany. That's where the actual images are. So there's a lot of stuff. I don't know if they have Yushalmi there or not. Okay, fine. So with that introduction now, you get that once, maybe once a year. Go ahead. Ksiv. Right, so what is the Yushalmi's question, essentially? The same question the Bavli will have, which is?
So the Mishnah says that Alon Zarek gets a knas, but we have the drush that of the Loti Ali Isha, that you should marry the woman that he is Ma'anis, and it's Isha Ru Yalo.
So you're saying that it's a drusha on Veloci Eli Isha?
No, but I'm saying they're going to connect between the knas and the marriage.
No, correct. No, what you say is all correct. I want to analyze that. You said it's a drush. They're interpreting Veloci Eli Isha Beru'yala. Is that really what's going on? Let me ask you a question. If you didn't have this pasuk about, but you didn't have this formula, Veloci Eli Isha, had it said Yisa'ena, Yikachosa, okay? If it said Yikachosa, so probably they would have darshan Beroi Lili Kuchen. But okay. But assume they wouldn't. I could come up with a formulation and they would have darshan it. What would we have said? Would we say that he marries her?
No.
Why not?
Is
that true? Moshe, what do you want to say? You shake. What would you have said?
Isha Ro'yala just means that it doesn't have a love. Wait, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Amati?
I would say we get a question on Asei Dochalosa.
Excellent. You would have said Asei Dochalosa. Maybe you would say Velo Siela Isha. You could have said that he can do either. You would say that he can marry her. The only problem is, and maybe here is, you would say you do Bia Rishona, but Bia Shnia is Aser. But I might even argue that Bia Shnia is Mutter, because here it says Leuchal Shalchal Koyamav. And if he's allowed to marry her because I say Dochalos Aser, and then he's not allowed to divorce her because Leuchal Shalchal Koyamav, and there's a mitzvah Ona Minatora, Ona Salo Yigra, then maybe Aser is always Dochalos Aser. Alex?
It seems that maximally you could apply that, to be honest, but in the case of
I would agree. That fair enough. That's fair. But there, you don't have the language of Elosi Elisha, just as Mahar Yimar and Elisha. Right? You see?
Isn't that a little strange to couch the exclusion in such positive language? It sounds like you really should marry her, but
agreed, and maybe he marries her no matter what. Even if she's even if she has a physical blemish, he marries her. Maybe if she has a yichus blemish, he marries her too.
So I don't think we've solved the problem of say the halot. This is just not I don't understand how this is.
No, because the point is, asei do halot asei means that you have two principles that exist independently and occasionally conflict. Most cases of halot asei elisha do not cause you to technically be violating any other yisur. If you were allowed to marry her in the first place and then you raped her, you can marry her now and that's not a problem. And the Yisr of Mamzeris exists in most normal cases, right, where you didn't rape her. Now the question is, what happens in a case where you raped her but she's a Mamzeris? So do you say that Velosi Elisha takes precedence or you say Leova Mamzer takes precedence? That's the whole idea of Asei Dochos. So you could apply that here. You could. Mati's correct. Shua?
I think Yushami knows it from Ma'in to Ma'in as we continue through.
No, that's how they're going to reject it.
Reject
what? No, in other words,
the way that we know that you don't marry the person that was from the Yushalmi.
I understand that. What I'm saying is that, for example, if you look in the Bavli never even discusses. I mean, it says it just has the initial statement Isha Ru'yalo.
Well, the Bavli never rejects.
Correct.
Yushalmi rejects the
Yushalmi says you have to have a mocker for it. No, excuse me, you don't. The Yushalmi says you have to muck her for knas, that you pay the knas. The Yushalmi takes as a given you can't marry her. Right? The question is, why not? And the same thing in the Baal Nazir. That you're not going to marry her seems to be taken as a given. My question is, why not? Is this Gzeira B Rishon to be a Shnia? Or is it, as it was being suggested, Velo Siya Elisha, that Darshaning B'ru'uyalo? And therefore, if she's not in the category of Velo Siya Elisha, then maybe you don't pay Knas either. Just as if she's not a Nara, you don't pay Knas, and she's not a Basula, you don't pay Knas, and she's not a Lo Orasa, you don't pay Knas. So if she's not Velo Siya Elisha, if she's not Ru'uyalo, you don't pay Knas. So I just want to know, how do you know that you don't say in this case, I say the chalos I say. So it might be based upon these words, velosi elisha, they're darshaning the words. Yitzi?
What else could the pasuk have said?
It could have said, yikachena. So as I said, I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's not like extraneous. That would get it into one, it's like German. Get into one word, but it's not...
I don't know. I wonder, because they don't. I don't remember if you look in the sheet of Mekubeta, somebody I think raises this question. That's what happened to Aseidah Chalos Aseir, and I don't think we say that it's Gzeira Bia Rishona Atu Bia Shnia. Why not? Because if it were, then the Gemara wouldn't have a kasha. If Midoraisa you're allowed to do the original Kiddushin Habia, and it's only subsequent to that, which wouldn't make sense anyway, as I said, because if you're allowed to do marry her and do the first Bia, and then you're not allowed to divorce her, then presumably you're allowed to have subsequent Bias as well. Notice, that concept that I borrowed, where did I take that concept from, that the first Bia would be Mutter but not subsequent Bias? Yibum. The halacha is that if a Kohen's brother, let's say, is a Halal, and any woman therefore he marries and has Bia with is a halala. Or if he had Erisim but he married a Grusha. His brother's allowed to marry, to keep it simple, his brother's allowed to marry a Grusha. His brother dies without children. Can the Kohen do Yibam on the Grusha? So the answer to the question is, Menat Torah, the Gemara says, the Babli says, yes. Because I say, do chalos say. That's why we require chalitza. Why do they not allow Yibam? Gzeira Bia Rishona Atu Bia Shnia. Because the Bia Rishona is the mitzvah, but the Bia Shnia is not a mitzvah Yibam anymore. It's just being married. But at that point, you divorce her. So, but in our case, I'm arguing that once you marry her, you can't divorce her. So you can't really say Gzeira Bia Rishona Atu Bia Shnia, because Bia Shnia should be mutaris as well. So it seems that both the Bavli Yusham and if it were true that Minat Torah he would be allowed to at least marry her for Bia Rishona, then a problem would exist, whatever that is. So then the Gemara, the Bavli Yusham is Kasha, wouldn't be a Kasha. You want to know why do you pay a Knash? The answer is because Minat Torah, it is Velosi Elisha. You're allowed to marry her. Because I say, Doch Alos, I say.
But wouldn't that be Chote Nishkar, or whatever?
Chote is Nishkar, and then he's Chote, and then he's Nishkar, but yes. Okay.
No, but I'm saying, like, basically, if he wants, let's say, an erva, he would rape her, and he would have her as a wife afterwards. It would be a mitzvah to marry her at that point. Didn't know there, and now he does a mitzvah.
Something just...
It's also asad o'chalot asad, according to what you're saying. And I'm saying
okay, he could also kill his childless brother, like... That logic could take you anywhere, right?
No, but I'm saying, it seems like it wouldn't work, because, like, then, okay, so then anyone could just...
I don't know. It's an interesting question. We raised this issue previously about Chote Nisgar, about Ones, the girl being forced to marry him. It's an interesting question. I don't know if anybody knows the psychological literature. I don't. This one, but the question is, are rapists likely to be interested in their victims or not? What? That's the one exactly what I was thinking about. And there, putting the Medrash Chazal aside, what happened there, there, it seems like he had no interest. He, you know, used it. What? Sorry?
You didn't realize that before.
I know. I know, but then he lost his interest. You know, I don't know.
What they say usually is that rape is not a crime of sexuality, it's a crime of power. I think that's what you. It's
certainly the
phrase. What's that?
That's the phrase.
Like, that's the understanding of like, modern legal literature.
Well, I don't know. It depends on which context that you're talking about. I'm not sure.
There's competing schools. There's only one school.
I'm not going to get into that question. I don't know. I'm not. I claim no bikkias in this. All right. Anyway, but the bottom line is, I don't think that's the. So again, at the you're giving him a nice svara, but I think it's clear that they interpret. They somehow assume that there's no gzera b'rishonah to be a shnei. It's asur min haTorah. There's no heter just because of Velosi Elisha. Is it based upon the words Velosi Elisha that b'ruyalo? That might be the drush. Daniel.
I've been under the impression that ase do kalodanse only applies when there's no alternative option. Like sixes or something.
Somebody says that, Taka. Somebody, who said that?
I don't know, but why?
Somebody says that. That's the answer. If it's not, I don't think it was in the Midrash Halacha, so one of the Rishonim, somebody must give that answer. It's either the Midrash Halacha or the Rishonim say that. That's the answer that's given, which is we could be malamid her to refuse. You have a choice. That's a little complicated, though, because you could choose not to put on a four-cornered baggin of linen as well. So you have to, but yes, that answer is given. Good. You jogged my memory on that, but yeah. So that would be another approach. You don't have to say, but both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi sound like the Lo Siya Lishta and Beru'ya Lo Le'isha.
Even what you quote beforehand about a Kohen with the Yibam.
Yeah.
That would seem to be implying not like that. I mean, if you...
They asked that Kasha, because Reish Lakish, it's quoted in the second paragraph in Vamos. Reish Lakish says, Kol Mokom Sha'ata Motzei Aseh V'Los Aseh Yach Efshel Kaim Sheh Mutav Amlav Yov Aseh V'Yit Chalos Aseh. So the Gemara says, why not do Chalitza? And the answer is, because Chalitza B'Makom Yibam Lav Klumbum. So that's an interesting question. What would you say in this case? In other words, maybe choosing not to marry her should be nothing compared to marrying her. I don't know. But that answer, what you said, is actually given. Someone says that answer. Okay. Fine. So let's continue on here. So now the Gemara wants to, Yerushalmi wants to know, why is there a knas? The Havamina is not that he's going to marry her. The Havamina is, you don't pay knas in this case because it doesn't fit in the parasha. Just like you need Nara, Besula, Asher Lo Arasa, you need Velo Si Elisha. You don't have Velo Si Elisha, nothing doing. Obviously the Maskana is what? Is that Nara, I forget what the terms are, what are the two terms in a law clause? And not in a law clause. If so-and-so, then so-and-so. Hypothesis and what are the terms? I don't remember what it is. Protesis and something like that. So there's the if and the then. So the Havamina is that the if and the then clauses are both ba'akev. You need all the details in there. The maskana is going to be is that the if clause, if she's a nara besula shelo rasa, and this happened, so then what has to happen is peish chamishim kesef velo si elisha and lo yuchal shachar kol yamav. Right? What?
Opposition.
No, that's like when you say Sam, the student sitting on my right, comma, you know.
Oh,
okay, I was close enough in those words. Okay.
It's in a positive.
Did we not?
It's in apposition. Did we say
in apposition?
Yeah, it's in a positive. That'd be the case if you were doing like something like Latin, or if, I don't know if Greek has it, but it stands in apposition, right? Not opposition, but apposition. Right. But okay, that's what I was thinking of.
Isn't rejecting the drasha of Velotielisha?
No, it's accepting as a matter, it wants to know, why is it, since it doesn't fit Velotielisha, why is it that you pay knas in those cases of Mamzeris and Nesina and Arias? You should say that there's no knas because it doesn't fit into Velotielisha, but they take as a given that the pasuk only applies Velotielisha, Beruil Elishus. Is that a svara? Is it based upon the words? I don't know. But that seems to be the given. That's the starting point. So the question is, if you can't be Mekayim Velotielisha, for whatever the reason, because you don't apply to the Chalos Aseh, because that's the way they read the words, Ru'uya Lo Le'ishus, whatever it is, once you can't say that, so now the question is, why are you chayving Knas? How do you know that you have to pay Knas in such a case? Say that just as when she's not an Aro, she's not a Psula, or she was a Rasa, that you pay Knas, so too in this case.
But the final drush, or the question that draws the final drush is, or whatever, the answer is that, whatever it is, they say, So doesn't that cover both of them? Doesn't that cover both the fact that they can't get married because it's afil min hashemayim, and the fact that you get the knas?
Just like you pay knas when the father refuses, you also pay knas when Hashem refuses.
Okay, but the point is, so I'm not sure. You actually don't need to say that. Does that? I think that starts at, how do you know me'anu min hashemayim?
Because
double letters,
my
Elisha. No? How do you know?
You know that this person can't be married to you because the Torah says you can't marry any of them. Or like you can't.
No, I know. So that's the question. But you could, if you really feel compelled to answer the Yerushalmi in a Bavli-esque fashion. So you could say, Mo'ein, im yimanu min hashamayim, then he has to pay the knas. And how do you know mi'anu min hashamayim? The answer is because we govern, the rule has to be velo si elisha. That the only time you marry her by onus mefata is when she's ru'uya le'ishus. And you could read it that way if you want. Mo'ein yimanu min hashamayim does not have to be the makor. that you're not allowed to marry her. It could be if you reach the situation where the Torah has forbidden you to marry her, in this case, in Onei Semifata, for whatever its reason, because you don't say Asedoch Lassasei, because you say Velosi Elisha, so then Kesef Yishkol still. So you don't have to say, I understand what you're saying. You're saying the fact that we raise the specter that Yimanu Men HaShemayim means that they're women you can't marry by Onei Semifata, and obviously that must be the woman who the Torah prohibited marrying generally. Right? I understand that's what you're suggesting. Right, but you could read it as ma'ain yima'ain if the Torah prohibited it in this case, and there's still a separate makar. I hear what you're saying, but I'm not the Yushalmi is probably not doesn't get caught up quite the way on that type of a question as the Bavli might. Just it's different derech.
Well, probably is it like I was advancing that idea during Seder is that the Bavli seems to maybe we'll see when we get to that the Bavli accepts the lima but then strips it of all power that there's it doesn't that look or I guess unless we're saying it.
What do you mean? The Bavli assumes, except for until you get to the Tanaim who disagree with the Mishnah, the Bavli assumes that even though Velosi Elisha, we have a ribui to say Yusei Knas. Even though by right, these, the Mamzeres, the Nesina, the Arai, should have been excluded from this because they're not Begeder Velosi Elisha, still, because Besula, Habesula, Absulos, or Nara, Nara, Hanara, because of that, because of that reboy, even in these cases where he can't marry her, he still pays knas.
But could it be that Yushan rejects the assumption that the Bavli works under the assumption that if you can't marry her, then you won't pay knas?
You shouldn't have had to pay knas, but there's exer sakas if you do. And Yushami does the same thing. It has almost, the first one is the same drasha.
But the Yushami needs to find a separate drasha, and the Bavli just, I guess the Bavli has a reboy, and this just has a separate drasha.
Okay, I agree, they learn it from a different place, but I presume they're learning the same thing. That's what I would assume. Yitzi?
Well, it's kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it seems to be progressing in completely different. The directions of mechanisms seem to be completely opposite to one another. The Yerushalmi seems to be coming from a place of everything is, everything gets a knas, until we have a principle at the end of the Yerushalmi that tells us that it doesn't get a knas. At least by the end of the Yerushalmi.
No. The end of the Yerushalmi is ima'ein yima'ein kesef yishkol. If there's refusal, you have to pay money.
No, I mean the very end.
The
I'm saying like as a test case, let's take a chayali misa. Great. No. At this stage in the at this point in the Bavli, in this sugya in the Bavli, how do we know that chayali misa don't pay knas?
How do you know that one?
That chayali misa don't pay knas. At this stage in the Bavli, it seems like it's just because there's no reboy to count.
Now, if you read Tosus Dibur Maschil B'chad, what you're saying is not correct. Tosus points out the following: how come? What about Chai Ve'Asei? Why don't you have a Rebbe for Chai Ve'Asei? So Tosus says because there are basically only two categories within this discussion, where Kiddushin is Tosin and where Kiddushin is not Tosin, and therefore I would have said that the Chai Ve'Misos, from the Bavli's perspective, are also included. And they're included in the Krasus.
I mean, except for the fact that the Mishnah explicitly differentiates between those.
They're chliyav in principle if you didn't have kamalei Rabbi Meir. So I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, for example, you pay knas. Think about it. For Rabbi Meir Shita, you pay knas, by Baal Bito, if you could work for Rabbi Meir, that you would be Bishan, let's say, to the daughter. So you're basically saying that Bito is Bechlal, one of the two drushes. Chad l'rabos, one to bring Chai Ve'lav, and one to bring Chai Ve'Krasus. Misa goes in the Krasus pot. So in the end, it comes out to be the same thing.
I'll see if other Rishonim have different things to say on
that. Okay. Fair enough.
On why Yisuri Asei aren't there. Because if other Rishonim have other reasons why Yisuri Asei aren't mentioned.
Okay.
The fact that they're not in the Mishnah, so the Gemara's not dealing with them here.
Fine.
It seems to be fairly reasonable. And then we'd have the same conclusion about why...
Well, that's why the Bavli doesn't deal with the Mises based then also, because they're not in this Mishnah. And they don't need to explain. The Bavli doesn't feel compelled so much to explain why Chai Ve'Misos, you would have been Chai Ve'Al Kumla.
The Mishnah quoted up until now. In the Mishnah. It's the same Mishnah.
And by the
way, Yisuri Asei quoted anywhere in either this Mishnah or the second Mishnah in the Perek HaMalek Vav, which is really the same Mishnah.
Well, 1 second. According to the Maskana of the Yerushalmi, anyway, the only reason why you're Patur on... Right.
Exactly.
But you would be chayev otherwise. And I'm telling you, according to the Bavli, you'd also postures be chayev otherwise. They're just talking about our Mishnah. To give your answer that you were about to state to me, Tosus claims it's included. He doesn't talk about Mises. But in Prince Tosus says chayev yaseh is included in Lavin because they're both Isurim and Kedushin are Tosin.
Right.
And by that extent, he doesn't say it. By extension, it would apply to Mises based and would it Bukharis.
Isn't it
well that
mention it?
No, because the din, he already knows it's Pater because of Kamen Rabbeinu, so he doesn't have to get into the question.
Or you see, that means we're assuming that at this stage of the Gemara, they're working within the framework of Kamen Rabbeinu.
Yes, they know the Mishnah. It's in the Mishnah. It's in the Torah, too, but Kamat Beferish. Kamat Beferish. All right. Well, but what's that? But it's Lashon.
Exactly.
It's in the Mishnah. Abal bipatur shemischai benafsho shenemar v'mason yev v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh. Okay. So, Yaakov, go ahead. All right. So that is very similar to Repapa in the Bavli, which is very interesting because one almost wonders whether or not the tradition got reversed in transmission to Bavel, because it's Reish Lakish in the Bavli as well who says Nara Nara Hanara, and not Besula Besulos Ha Besulos, which is much closer to Reish Lakish's drasha in the Yerushalmi.
Doesn't matter, they're combined anyway to make six.
That is a very Bavli-esque combination. Right, the Bavli doesn't quote. Remember, Reish Lakish said Nara Nara Hanara. Rapapa said Besula Besulos Ha Besulos. The Gemara now wants to make shalom between them and explain why you really need both, but that's not what they said. And when you look at, again, generally speaking, it doesn't matter for our purposes, but when you have Reish Lakish quoted in the Bavli and Yerushalmi, which one would you assume is more likely to be closer to what Reish Lakish actually said? Yerushalmi. The same thing with Rabbi Yochanan, because they were Amorai Eretz Yisrael. Yes. In other words, why not say Kemar Basula? Kemar Basulos, in other words, all Basulos get this. Even the ones who are Basulos.
All
the Basulos, even the Basulos ones, yes.
Is that different than his Chadasir,
that's not Reish Lakish speaking, that's the Bavli. Within Rapapa, you mean?
No,
I know that. I understand that. So but what are you asking? I'm not sure what you're asking, Zach. I'm sorry.
I'm asking that, like, Reish Lakish saying we have this we believe for this specific thing, yes, we believe this specific thing, here, and Yerushalmi, it just says all those of us.
Yeah. You know, is it working in the exact style? I don't know. No, I don't think so. I just think that Derech HaDrasha and the Yerushalmi might not be the same. The Derech HaDrasha. Go ahead. Amar Rav Zeira. Right. In other words, Mohar is singular. So because it doesn't say Besulos Kimoharios, so that would be one thing. But it says Kimohar Habisulos Lariba Osakasav El Mohar Bilvad. So it sounds like there's only one Mohar here, that would theoretically be Fiksheris. You can't darshan from the Riba Halashan. That's all he would be saying. Okay? And then there's a very Vaida Amra Hada, which means the following really is what teaches us. It's not clear what that word Vaida means exactly.
Vaida Amra Hada, the Tani Chizkia, Imma Inima Enavia.
And nonetheless, you pay a kanas. So now the Yerushalmi asks, if that's the case, if even though it's the Torah prohibits you from marrying her, you have to pay a kanas. Yeah. Then why didn't you pay kanas by shivcha? Why does the Mishnah assume that only if she was nishtach or a pusim gashum yom echad, even if she was still the shivcha and you're assured to marry her, you should still have to. If she was less than 3 years in a day, which is a cheskas pesula, and then on day 3 years and one day, this guy is ma'anesar, he should have to pay, because even though we can't marry her, it doesn't matter. Okay, ma'in yima'in. So the answer is.
Okay.
Right, Moharim Harena Lo Leisha. So if you make him Lo Leisha, so only if you have Havaya, only if you can read that way. It's interesting that the Yerushalmi doesn't read it from the pasuk we might have expected, which is
Lo-ti-yali.
Yeah. Why do you think not?
It's already being used for a separate
drasha. I don't think so. I would have said the reason why is because you could read Velosieli Shah as, you could have read it as automatic. In other words, she's his wife. It just happens. If they agree, she's his wife. But here, Maharyim Harena Lolisha implies, the simple reading, that he should do something. Now, maybe it's mandatory, that it implies his undertaking a certain action, and therefore, if he's not able to marry her because Kiddushin aren't Tovsin, then obviously there wouldn't be in this parsha. Yatza, Shivcha Ramish in Lo Havayaba. Then the Yerushalmi asks.
Sorry, I just have a question.
Yes.
Is there a difference?
I suppose to Amavri, I suspect. I don't think Shifcha Aramit means not Jewish. I think it means Shifcha Canaanis. That's what I think. The din would be the same. It wouldn't make a difference, right? The din would be the same. Whether it's a Gaya or a Shifcha, there should be Knas, because even though Manu Men HaShamayim, nonetheless, Ma'in Kesef Yishkol. So the answer of the Yerushalmi is you have to have Tfisas Kiddushim. Okay. Has to be Mohayim Lo Lisha.
And also, why is it, it starts out with Shivka and switches to Shivka Rami?
No.
Doesn't matter? Okay.
I don't think it's the difference. Mati?
Is there a technical reason why here they say that it has to have Havaya? Like, Lo Lisha means Havaya, whereas earlier Lo Lisha meant Ruya Lo?
No, so I was suggesting, that's what I was saying before, that maybe Moharyim Harena Lo Lisha implies the process of marriage, which is irrelevant if Kiddushin aren't Tovsin. The Lo Lisha could simply be implied she's his wife. So why they darshan that, but only if she's Ruya to be for him as his wife. So that's, by the way, more expansive. That says that the Velosia Elisha's Adrasha says even if Yesh La Kiddushin, even if Kiddushin Tovsin, still if she's Asuralo, she's not included. That was the Kasha. And the answers are basically based upon some type of a Reboy. That even though she's Psulalo, nonetheless, are you still paying a Knas? But then they ask, well, what about Shifcha? And the answer is no, you have to have Tvisis Kiddushin. So then the Gemara says, is going to ask a Kasha on that. Right, but they learn that from Mahayim Arna Lo Lisha, because that implies he does something to marry her. Yitzi?
If the Gemara really does assume that there's some sort of automatic Zika, then maybe the Pasuk could have left out the Lo Lisha and just said, Lo Lisha Shal Koyim Up, because it's automatic. So then already you have extra words in a drash.
Okay, but the question is, why do you learn that from that one and this from this one? That was the question. You're right. Okay. So continue, Yaakov. What is Hasevun? That's Eisvei. Eisvei. Yep. Heshivu, they asked the question. But a sister, you can't be Mekat. You can be Mekat as your sister, you like. But if you want to have a school play and you don't want to have Shilas, and the school play involves a Kiddushin, you do one of two things. Well, in Camp Stone, so when they have a sample wedding, so I think that the Krones have gotten married multiple times now.
Who have?
Rav Adi and Bracha Krone have gotten married multiple times because when they did, what? Oh, okay, fine, right. So they can pick anything. How come no one's giving me this achus? Okay, fine. I've only performed one kiddushin. All right, so. So that, or you could have a brother and sister do it.
Right? Check no one's adopted.
What's that?
Check that no one's adopted. The kids may not know.
Rabbi, if they're both under the age of 12, then what's the issue?
That also would be a problem, but very often it's high schools, so it's happened. Okay. So I mean, choser nevaya, but you still pay knas in the case of onis mafata. So if the lack of kedushas kedushin means there's no knas, then why do you pay knas here?
What if it's done in English? Does that question?
Doesn't matter.
It still will be
If you use the appropriate language, yes.
Okay.
Possibly. And part of it depends. You are betrothed to me with this ring in accordance with the laws of Moses and Israel.
Would you say, will you marry me?
I didn't have a dramatic meaning there. No, I don't think, would you marry me, constitutes condition.
Look,
the truth is, Alpidin, it might be that even when they did a recited condition, there was no das. But I don't think that, firstly, I'm not sure will you marry me counts. Maybe. You have to look at the sugi in the first paragraph of Kiddushin, all the other Lashonos. Anyway, let's not. Okay, guys. So, ask the questions only on the main part. Okay, I may give you an example and elaborate, but. Okay, so his sister, there's no Havaya, so he pays Knas, and yet he pays Knas. So, how can you tell me that a Shifcha, you don't pay Knas, because there's no Havaya? The answer is. Shanyahi, it's different. Because she has Tfisas Kiddushin with others, just not with him. In other words, in order to have Knas, it has to be someone who's in the parish of Kiddushin. This is identical to the logic that's offered in the Bavli and Yevamos in the fourth parak as to why there's no Mamzerus, according to Rav Shimon HaTemani, from an Eved and a Shivcha, even though there's no Tfisas Kiddushin. Why? Because an Eved and a Shivcha don't create Mamzerus because they have no Tfisas Kiddushin with anyone. Mamzerus is created in a situation where there was a Bia of two people who can't marry one another, but they could marry other people. Yes, Daniel.
So Rashi's understanding of Yesh Bahavaya and Aris Sugya on Chavtet is not like the Yerushalmi's understanding of that Drasha. On Chavtet on the bed.
Yeah.
She Yesh Bahavaya. She Kedushin Tovsin Loba Prat La Choto.
Why? I don't see how it's different.
It seems like the Yerushalmi's understanding Yesh Bahavaya as being. Just stomp, there would be Kedushin be Tofis or with somebody else.
It would.
Correct. It would.
Rashi's not arguing that.
I think Rashi's understanding it as it's Kedushin for you, Tofis her. Can you?
So the Bavli certainly. No. These are Tanaim who are cholik on the Bavli. That he's explaining Rav Shimon Menasya and or Rav Shimon HaTemani arguing on the Mishnah. The Yerushalmi and the Bavli initially are following the Mishnah.
Right.
So yes, that's the Machlokas. Okay, go ahead. Hooray. That's a klutz kasha. Why? So why did one pay Knas by a daughter then if you don't need Tfisas Kiddushin? The answer is you should, except Shanyahi. Okay, fine.
Is that possibly a suggestion that carrying over from the Yerushalmi to the Bavli that it's not necessarily working within the framework of Kimei B'Dirabah V'Nei from the beginning. It has to get to it.
I don't know when the Yerushalmi, again, it's in the, how can it not be? It's in the Mishnah. Right? In other words, I think it's rhetorical more than anything else. Okay, and I would add, by the way, it matters, although I don't know what the Yerushalmi thinks about Shitas Rabbi Meir generally, it matters for Rabbi Meir that you don't say Kimei B'Dirabah V'Nei by Knas. If you say by Knas that Adam Mishalim and Mace, then the fact is that Bito, you would pay Knas because Yesh Lavai Itzal Cherem, except that come Kamei the Rabbinate. So for those who don't hold Kamei the Rabbinate, you would be Knas by Bito if there were a person, the right person to give it to. What's that? All right, tomorrow we will resume and we will go through the Bavli. You can do the small toasts among Chavtes and Beis, but when you're done, please go in the Gemara and Rashi till Daf Lamed Amid Aleph, up until my time at the Rabbi Nechonya, maybe up and not including,
yeah.
And that's about a little before the middle of the page, and one toastus in particular, the one issue we're going to talk about. And extensively, I don't know if we'll get to it tomorrow, is the biggest tosos, Chavtes Amud Beis, which deals with the question of the link between Tfisas Kiddushin and Mamzerus. So more on that, I will send you some makaros to prepare. It's mostly Gemaras and Tosos quotes, but some of them you really need to look at. You should look at all of them. Okay.